Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. This is specifically for Dorothy Jane, and I really don't want to do this. But it's been motivated by documents received recently from the state. And to what degree my wife participated in this, I have no idea. But because I was approached and they are being forceful, I appealed. What comes to mind is Acts 25:11. Paul having some difficulties because he was being accused by the Jews. And then, of course, the Roman leadership passed him around a bit. But then Acts 25:11, the ESV, if then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything for which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar. The "I appeal to Caesar" thing has sunk in with me because it's in contrast with 1 Corinthians 6. But 1 Corinthians 6 is Christian versus Christian, or follower of Christ. Christian and follower of Christ are not necessarily the same thing, are they? So in this case, Paul was being accused by the Jews who were denying Christ, and he was set before the Roman leadership, who also would do the same, because there's the passage about, would you, convince me to become a Christian, and such a sort, which I find fascinating. But so because of the issues that were put on me, I wrote an email, and I've received responses, and it's not being handled, because my wife went to the office in Chattanooga, and that's where the email, the letter came from. This has been forwarded to Nashville, the state capital, to be addressed there. Because there is a issue in reference to the fact that the terms that were set for this $888 a month that I'm supposed to pay my wife was set with 7 kids in her care. Tirza has been long out of her care. And of course, Julia is a married mother of 2. So those 2 at minimum do not live with my wife. George is 21. And Susanna, my assumption is a high school graduate. So the care or the requirement for my pain, my wife, for them, should have changed. I did just stated, if it dropped simply $60 for each child living, leaving, that's over $10,000. And there have been previous requests about this information because I have received documents in the state saying that the rate would go down because of a child being emancipated. It never did. So because of the difficulties now, I appealed to Caesar. And the issue is I did offer direct evidence that one about the fact that Tirza and Julia are not with my wife. Therefore, I've been paying for them for years, and that's wrong. That is theft. That is theft. That's Exodus 20, but who reads that anymore? George, I have no idea about his status. But he's 21 years old. He's not a high school student. And again, my assumption is Susanna, I get it right sooner or later. It's not like I haven't seen them in 10 years. Oh, wait a minute. I haven't seen them in 10 years. Susanna, because I actually saw that she was, I had some information that she was a high school senior, but that was last year, so she's no longer a high school senior. She, I assumedly, has graduated since we're well into the following year. My assumption is Glory Jane, Walter and Zadok are at North Hills, and actually I have asked and they give me silence. Just like any other Christian institution. Silence. Very, very unloving. I'm just the dad. But because of the fact that I didn't simply offer, oh, please, what's going on? Help me, help me. I set out the evidence. If you look again at the Acts 25, 26, and so forth, evidence is set out. This, and so forth. So following that model, I did it. My concern is, this doesn't make my wife look good. And I love that lady. It was started with the amount of money owed. And so that is being appealed. But then I did include, I have intending to communicate with my kids as specified in section 6.1 of the October 30, 2012 document. And then there's the link to the document. So the image is right there. The document my wife signed. For a period that was occurring without notice in September 2016, I have only been able to leave a voicemail, such as I'm doing now. I have not been able to speak with my kids in 6 years. The voicemails are recorded, and the link is right there. Family.kozlowski.org. And by the way, the 6 years, bold, red, underlined. I'm trying to make a point. I haven't talked with my kids in 6 years, completely in violation of Section 6.1 of the document my wife signed. I do send emails, packages, letters, and postcards to my kids. Section 6.2 states that this should not be censored. I now have over 60 censored postcards returned to me. Images can be seen at, and of course, the promise refused. And there they are on their wall. I physically have them. That's evidence. It's very condemning evidence, isn't it? And of course, as I point out, the images on the wall. I mentioned the things about George. Section 6.4 indicates that I be informed about school records. Information has been requested and none provided, including a direct appeal to the school. This is, and the promise, North Hills. So I provided direct evidence. And, that website that I've been producing now for years, that's growing and growing and growing in information, there's my evidence. I do wonder about this. I've stated I have been making use of the voicemails now in video form to teach my kids about theology, science, history, propaganda, and other things. This is an effort to bring... This effort is being denied to my kids, but is public and used by others. I did mention about how a friend offered to drive me to see my kids, and then, of course, the resulting restraining order that my wife did, and the implication of violence, which there's no evidence of that. Yeah, and of course, my statements that I wrote were obviously ignored. I did write, in summary, it appears that this is an example of the proverbial rules for thee and not for me. The amount I'm required to pay is far above what the law requires. The ability to communicate with the kids has been denied me for 6 years, and reconciliations with my wife and related institutional church leadership thwarted, with their response being to send the Cleveland police to intimidate me without cause or anything in writing. So, a whole bunch of things that I've pointed out in the past It's all there in the letter. So I sent this and I got a response. And they said this will go to Nashville, and they did send me a document to fill out. And it didn't make any sense because there's questions about, insurance on the kids and how many, to have the questions like days child spends with you per year is rather on the hurtful size, as I've not seen my kids in over, bold, red, 10 years. So I am troubled that this is occurring. This is occurring. You see, I mentioned that I've mentioned many times because there's the things that if you go for here and kind of put it all together, you can find the answer for a question, but you have to relate so many things. And there's the direct, the 1 Corinthians 6:5. I say this to your shame. Can it be that there was no one among you wise enough to settle disputes between brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. That is exactly what my wife did, and Jim Cross is a part of that. And it's identical to what Chris Bitterman, or the leadership of MetaView, did. And they remain silent on this. This is unloving. Maybe the reason this 1 Corinthians 6 does not apply is brother against brother. Maybe they're not brothers. Maybe they're Christian in name only, but not from the eyes of God. That's a tough question, isn't it? If you cannot obey the Lord, if you cannot act in love, if you look at me as your enemy and still cannot love your enemies as the Lord commands, you call yourself a Christian? Are you saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all sorts of wonderful things in your name? Doesn't that scare the living daylights out of you? I am really concerned. This is a huge waste of time. And may become an expense that is not right. And there's another factor that weighs perhaps most heavy. And this is what concerns me for my wife, above all things, is, I would set before anyone, sit down, it's going to take, I think it's like 6 hours, to watch the 9 videos I did, the intro series. That's at family.kozlowski.org, right there in front. 9 videos, introduction. And if you look at that, and you say, write him off, throw him away, don't communicate with him, he's a bad man. Are you coming from the perspective of a follower of Christ? But then what happens, especially in the case of my wife, who basically has done that, it appears. And then my kids grow up. I did a while back, this was, last month, was it last month or even the month before? Oops. I'm not prepared in this. The idea of, there was the gentleman in Canada who you know, his daughter was being given hormone therapy. And I actually sent a series of postcards. And okay, starting in August 19th. This is a series of postcards I did in reference to Robert Hoagland. Because what I mentioned at that time is that video came out, What is a Woman? And, you know, it made some controversy and so forth. But, you know, and I even have the picture of where I mark it, question answered. Because the way the video ends is superb in how the question is answered quite simply. But they had this in the video. They showed just simply a cell phone and, you know, audio waveform. And you listen to a man, and they did not identify him. His name is Robert Hoagland. And I mentioned that, you know, because when I listen to that, it's kind of like, I know who that is. Because he does do interviews. And I think the reason they didn't put him in the video for the What is a Woman, didn't put his name in there, because it would be censored in Canada, because it's illegal to mention his name in Canada. Because he's censored. But, and you know, I did a series of screen captures of the text. What is your message to your parents who are trying to cope with this? The first thing is to tell parents they are not alone. One of the reasons I do this is I know I'm not alone. In the sense that others are going through the same thing. It is our responsibility as a parent. It is to be the frontline defense for our kids. I know that my child, a lot of people will say, you know, I guess I'm missing a lot of words here. Was it worth it? Because now seemingly you've lost your child. You know, 10 years in my case without my kids. Never having a face-to-face with Zadok, who is about to have his 11th birthday. I say, but at least I've saved my conscience and my morals and convictions. And when my child turns 25 and says, Dad, where were you? I was there fighting as hard as I could, I'll say. I was not prepared to let this happen. Zadok, Walter, Gloria Jane, Susanna, George, I was there fighting. I was not prepared to let this happen. Family.kozlowska.org is a monumental effort to restore a family, our family. I've mentioned because the first time apparently became noted, written, was Tacitus in the first century. Exact quote, I don't remember, but I've wronged you, now I hate you. It's the idea that somebody may do something to somebody else that is inappropriate, that's wrong. And because they can't admit it now, because it would impact their pride, position, whatever, they have to hate that person that they've wronged. My suggestion is my wife is doing that right now. Because obviously she's showing hate to her husband, me. And again, Romans 7, 1 Corinthians 7 is very clear. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. I'm alive. My wife is bound to me. And by the way, I checked, you know, what God is bound together, let no man separate. Matthew 19, things of that nature, which Jim Cross has ripped to shreds, you know, but ripped to shreds and runs, exactly what my wife does. It's the idea of, you know, it's together to bind or to yoke. So what God has put together, yoked us together. No, man doesn't separate. Turning to the state does not separate Dorothy Jane from me. Romans 7 is clear. I'm alive. She's still bound to me. Bound as in yoked. And you call yourself a Christian based on what? The authority of the institution or the Lord? The authority of the institution, what your club says, what religious leadership says, because they have a certificate on their wall, what the Bible says unambiguously. What the Bible says unambiguously. But then, of course, as I pointed out with the, you know, again, you go to the card, the He Begged Us link, that video there demonstrates where the pastor at MediView read Mark 10 and ignored it. Because that's the norm in the institutional church. You pick up a Bible, you show it, you wave it around, you quote passages, and you twist their meaning. Especially when you twist the very clear meaning, and you do not take on a challenge. Again, remember, the idea of a sermon does not appear in Scripture. The word does not appear at all. The Sermon on the Mount is a title given to a section. It does not appear in the text whatsoever. The idea of a sermon or a monologue is not something you see in Scripture. It's dialogue or through words or through speaking. And it's not a monologue where this one speaker, but you see, you know, the PCA's indecency in order from 1 Corinthians. Why is it said? It's not because you have the music, the worship, the reading of the Scripture and the sermon and whatnot. No, that's not what it means. It means you have multiple speakers and you do it where it's not one person talking on top of another or one person silencing another. It's exactly opposite to the regulative principle of worship that the PCA uses. They don't use the Bible. It's an ornament. It's not a reference. It's an ornament. That's all it is, isn't it? Because you see, what are the greatest commandments when Jesus asked that? Love the Lord, love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Your enemy. We see this in the Good Samaritan example. You know, Good Samaritan, that I point out this man. And the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan was the enemies. The enemy showed love. And you're called to go and do likewise. You may read that on Sunday morning. Look at me as an enemy and run. You turn a cold heart to me. You turn to the state, your Lord and Master, the state. You're living Proverbs 1984. When my kids one day find out about it, as Robert Hoagland's example, I want my kids to know their dad tried. Their dad tried to reconcile the family. One, because I'm in love with Dorothy Jane. In spite of all the hate she has shown me, and it is hate, I'm in love with her. Dorothy Jane, my lady, I love you. And I speak the truth to you as best I can. But there's this other thing. I'm a follower of Christ. And my wife, I pointed this out years ago, used the Galatians 5, for freedom's sake, Christ has set us free, and used it to apply freedom from marriage. She's obviously the child of Jim Cross. She takes the Scripture and twists it and makes it say things it doesn't say. That's not what it means. There's no freedom from marriage, but death. Marriage begins with sex and ends with death. My wife said that's not true. I can back it up from Scripture. The only thing people like Jim Cross and my wife can do is run. I want to follow Christ, don't you? I hate doing this. But I've been pushed. So I appealed to Caesar. I was pushed by Caesar, and I appealed to Caesar in response. And Lord willing, I'm going to bring a whole lot more other people into this, because I want somebody to know. Somebody. Who are the somebodies? George, Susanna, Gloria Jane, Walter, and Zadok, who have a whole bunch of postcards that were sent to them that are on this wall because they were censored in violation of man's law. And I want them to know. Somehow, I want to get to them. Their dad, as George asked however many years ago, 3 years ago now, I wish we were family again. His words. And my wife says, no, no, not with him. I love that lady. I look at the pictures I have of her. And when I get a picture, I have a picture right here of you know, there was a picture recently of her when we were in Lexington on Old 64, and we're sitting outside. I'm sitting on one of the most metal chairs outside, and she was sitting in my lap. That was normal. Our comfort level was marvelous. We were like glued to each other. Glued to each other. Where do you read that? Glued to each other. Is it somewhere in, what's that book, Genesis, you know, it's then not good for man to be alone, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's the ESV. See the LSV, well, it cleaved and whatnot. The word there, and I don't know if I can pronounce it, proskolio, whatever. I'll maybe have to figure out how to pronounce that one. It's to glue. When you're glued, you don't get unglued. There's not a solvent to separate you. The state can't do it. It doesn't have that authority. I'm glued to my wife. She's my one and only lady all the days of my life. My only freedom to find another is if she dies. But I've made that commitment, and I've made it out loud, publicly. It's on video, the marriage defined and commitment beyond video. I will not, if my wife were to pass and I was free, find another lady. She's my one and only. That's it. She is the finest woman God ever created for me. There's no one else. I don't need another one. It's the creation story, slightly embellished by a man in love. The thing I did. It's on, you know, it's also on BitChute. I meant it. I'm in love with that lady. My wife, Dorothy Jane, my lady. It's you and you alone. And I have now documented a whole bunch of places where you turn to man's law and then you spit in the face of man's law, which is consistent because you're claiming to be a follower of Christ and spit in the face of Christ. Stop! Please! Change course. Turn around. Oh, what's the word that is to change of mind? It's called repent. I love my kids, but I'm biased. I'm biased toward my kids. I love my kids more than the neighbor's kids. I love my kids, and you've denied me my kids for 10 years. But there's a stronger bias. Beyond question, to this day, the person I am most biased towards is my wife, my lady, Dorothy Jane, you. I love you. I'm not holding anything against you. I'm seeking reconciliation. you turn to the state. You spit in the face of God. I'm asking for you to repent, not only of that, but repent of the twisting of Scripture you do in following your dad's model. And, you know, try the 1 Corinthians 7:11. Reconcile with your husband. Please. You know, one of the things I've been doing, and it's a pain in the neck because I'd rather write software, but I'm documenting things about how things are being done electronically to control, to track, and so forth in the subtle ways. Not, you know, there's the overt things, but I'm telling you about the subtle ones. It's the discussion I had about the are Tor holes intentional. I'm basically putting an outline together to go through a whole bunch of those things to show how the technology of today is being used to track you subtly and how it is being used to control you. And eventually the target is going to be the follower of Christ. Again, as I point out, you have a cell phone and you or somebody else with you has an electronic Bible. You're tracked and you're tagged and it's going to cost you. And I can explain why. These are the things I don't want to do because there's other things I'd rather do. Like engage my kids, actually hold a grandchild, and embrace my wife. My concern is that making a louder effort to go to the state, and now it's, you know, I got a formal response from the state. It's in process. How long it takes, I have no idea. You know, the state's not very fast. So I got to widen the audience. And I'm going to try to do that fast. I'm overwhelmed. I have all sorts of issues right now. But I'm in good health, so maybe I have time. As should be no surprise, I went to the farmer's market today, and the crowd was remarkably small, and there was only one vendor there. He and I talked for probably at least a half hour, and laughed, gave each other a hard time, and encouraged each other at the same time. Because there's a warmth and a bond between this man who was nothing like me and myself. Because a warm bond with another human being is absolutely marvelous. I strive with a passion that I've never had before to do that with everyone I meet. To establish a warmth, whether it's somebody I meet at a store, walking down the street, because, you know, I'm that odd guy. I say hi. It's, you know, it's fascinating to me because it happened not today, but 2 days ago, I get people honking the horns and waving and so forth because they know me. I can't say that about my own kids. 10 years without seeing my kids. And then what has happened to Walter and Zadok? Young men who grew up without their dad there because their mom appealed to the state to get him out of the house. What will they be, as Robert Hoagland says, when they're 25 and they find out, where were you, Dad? What will they be like when they see the massive amount of stuff that's online on videos, DVDs, USB drives, and so forth? What will they think? Mom. You knew this. Why did you say no? The scripture that Dad has been talking about, it's not difficult to see. Why did you say no? The Lord commands you to reconcile. Why did you say no? Dorothy Jane, my lady, why did you say no? Why did you say no? As I point out, you know, the thing that's also so important with 1 Corinthians 6 that I've mentioned so often, because we have kids that this applies directly to. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Eric Lee and Jack are directly stated there. Unambiguously. Are you? I am. But then I can see evidence of 1 Corinthians 6:11 in my life. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Can you say that, Dorothy Jane? If you claim that, but still say, no, I will not reconcile. No, I don't want my kids to know their dad. No, keep him away. Put up a restraining order so he doesn't show up. I don't want to see the man I committed my life to. Do not be deceived. I'm sorry, my lady. You're deceived. Self-deceived. And such were some of you. That is my hope for Jack, for Eric Lee. I have no idea where Tirza and Julie are at. And I have no idea how George, Susanna, Gloria Jane, Walter, and Zadok have been set up. It seems what they see in front of them is Christianity is an hour on Sunday, but you don't have to live it. Because nobody in the institutional leadership does, so why should I? It's just a club. Makes you feel good. You know what it is to be a follower of Christ? All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. In this world, you will have tribulation. The Lord chastises those he loves, scourges them. Do you know that? Do my kids know that? Is that kind of life something they say, whatever the Lord brings to me, fine. My focus is I want a relationship with my Creator. And if you think that's found on Sunday morning where everybody smiles and gives everybody a handshake, well, or a fist bump because we're scared of each other from a fraud, or we sing a happy tune and we listen to somebody who twists the scripture for us, can't question, can't challenge, and we feel that, oh, we've done so well, because we've been obedient to the institutional church, not to the Lord. Lord, Lord, didn't we do all sorts of wonderful things in your name? I want to scare my kids from that kind of life and point them not to Santa Christ, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him, not the institution, not their leadership, and not me, but the Lord, our Creator. And you can't love someone who's trying to reconcile with you. And you're going to stand before the Lord and said, "Thank you, Lord. Don't I get a nice, wonderful, cushy eternity because I'm part of the club and I was nice to people and I put money in an offering plate and I did all sorts of wonderful things and I avoided people like the man I committed my life to? Isn't that a good thing, huh?" I love my wife. You know how much better it would be? I think I mentioned it. I'm sorry. There are many people I see. There's a bond between them where there are problems, but they're glued to each other and they don't turn from each other. We have that relationship where one person is glued to the other, me. But it takes us both. Dorothy Jane, I am glued to you. I am yoked to you. I will not turn from you. You're the one that turned from me. As Christ said to his bride in the Old Testament, "Return to me and I will return to you." Dorothy Jane, return to me and I'll return to you. Otherwise, if you're going to rationalize this stuff away, if you're going to rationalize obedience to Christ, the scary thought is, and to think about this for my wife is horrible. My wife may hear the words, "I never knew you. Depart from me." I don't want that for my wife. I love her. I've appealed to Caesar. I set my case before them in the example of Paul in Acts. I'll set my case wider now. Because I want my wife back. I want my kids back. And if I can only get one, I'll get whatever one the Lord grants me. But I'm not going to do it by lying. I'm not going to do it by softening the scripture. Christ talks about, basically softening the scripture. Yeah, not a good idea. No, I'm going to proclaim obedience to Christ. And I'm going to pursue my wife wholeheartedly because I love her. Love is based on truth. Why do I know that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ says he is the truth. He also says God is love. Love and truth are not a logical entity. It's the Lord. Same thing. So speaking the truth to you is speaking love to you. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord. Return to me and I'll return to you, says your husband. Consistent with husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I am so willing for the Lord to crush me to bless you because I love you. Dorothy Jane, take my hand. You promised. I love you and I want you back.